morning, B4 Church. How are we this morning? Awesome. We have kids in the room. Welcome. So glad you are all here. Hey, wasn't day camp so much fun? It's like a four-day-long party. It was amazing. So I just want to say thank you to Pastor Jenna, who led this massive endeavor, to Pastor Josiah, who is her right-hand person in leading this, and to all of the volunteers, whether coach, counselor, gopher, or in my case, I'm thanking myself here, Pete, the party llama. If you don't believe me, here's a picture of what my role was. Yeah, we could take that down now. So this was a massive team effort, and I'm just so grateful that we are the kind of church that instead of believing the lie that there is no hope for the next generation, instead of despair, we passionately together pour into the next generation, believing that they will experience hope, healing, freedom, and flourishing in life with Jesus. That is what we are about here at this church. This morning, we continue our Ephesians teaching series, Resurrection People, because resurrection is not something that we celebrate once a year at Easter. Resurrection is a reality that we as followers of Jesus live into in our day-to-day lives. Now, the passage we are going to be tackling together is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. This passage is basically a written down prayer from the Apostle Paul who wrote this letter. And it serves as like the middle point of the passage. It's like the hinge point that the letter goes from our identity in Christ to our new lived reality as followers of Jesus. So this passage, I'm going to have my friend Avery, who is in the third grade, read this for us. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to have us stand to our feet right now. Avery is going to, right now, thank you. Avery is going to read this passage. And as she reads this, just silently pay attention to the words she is reading over us. And then when Avery is done, she is going to say, "This is the word of the Lord," to which we as a community respond, "Thanks be to God," and then we will take our seat. Sound good? All right, Avery, go for it.
Ephesians 3:14 through 21 says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Great job, Avery. If you were to ask me 4 or 5 years ago if I enjoy long distance running, I would have responded with absolutely not. Never in my life. I grew up playing basketball, so short sprints was more of my thing, but long distance running was boring and just difficult, and I was not a fan. until the pandemic happened and gyms shut down. And for the sake of my own physical and mental health, I decided, you know what, I need to maintain an exercise routine. Therefore, I'm going to lace up my running shoes and just start running. And I started to make this a habit, and I started to enjoy it. However, there was this cap on my distance ability. It was 3 to 4 miles, and I could not go beyond this threshold. And I had a phone call with my dad, who has run marathons before, and asked him some advice. And he said this, "Son, you know what your problem is your nutrition. You are not getting enough fuel, you're not getting the right fuel, and you're not getting it at the right time." You see, I had all of the willpower and determination within me, but I needed a source outside of myself to sustain me to go the distance. The Christian life in the New Testament is often described as a race. And in this race, we, as followers of Jesus, spend our lives becoming like Jesus and partnering with him in his life, in this lifelong marathon of life with him. This begs the question, what is it that we fuel ourselves with for the race of faith? What do we fuel ourselves with as we seek to become more like Jesus and serve Jesus with our lives? Or are we even fueling ourselves at all? Are we fueling ourselves with instant, quick fix gratification? Or is there something better that's available to sustain us? As we go through this text, verse by verse, I want you to have this question in the back of your mind. What is it that sustains me for the race of faith? So with that in mind, let's go to verse 14. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So these first two verses introduce us to Paul's prayer. And Paul's prayer is broken up into two parts. There's the prayer of petition, where he is requesting something on behalf of the Ephesian brothers and sisters. And then the second part of the prayer is a prayer of praise. So we've got petition and praise. Now, what is it that Paul is petitioning on behalf of the Ephesians? Look at verse 16. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." You will notice in this passage, all three members of the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are present. You see Paul praying before God the Father that the Holy Spirit strengthen believers, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And when it comes to being strengthened in our inner being in this passage, the very core of ourselves, what is it? What is the source that strengthens us? Is it our willpower? Is it our own strength? No. Brothers and sisters, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Church, how often do we go through life, you know, following Jesus and serving Jesus based on our own willpower? We try to serve others out of obligation and duty, or we try to become like Jesus because we know that's what we're supposed to do. So we just try to white knuckle it and just try to be really hard, to be loving and good people. The invitation in this text is to be strengthened through the Spirit, that being the source. What does this look like? Verse 17 elaborates on this. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." That the character of Christ would dwell in you and you would be daily transformed into the likeness of Jesus, so that Christ's character in you may exude outward in a life of love. Now, kids, I have a Bible question for you. Y'all ready for a Bible question? I don't think you're ready for a Bible question. Are you ready for a Bible question? Okay, cool. Question is this: where is Jesus right now? Is Jesus A, in your heart, B, seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, or C, David, this is a trick question. Raise your hand if A in your heart. Okay, got some A, okay. B, you think, is C at the right hand of the Father? Okay, a few. C, you think this is a trick question. Oh, okay, a few more think this is a trick question. The answer is C, yes. Yes, it's both and. Jesus both dwells in us and is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. How is this possible? Through the Holy Spirit. This is why we need to get our Trinity in place in our understanding of our faith. This is why the Trinity is so critical and why the early days of the church, there was so much dialogue and argument around the Trinity. And I wish I could summarize with eloquence the mystery at the heart of our faith that is the Trinity, this fellowship of divine love within God's self. All I could say right now is I invite you, church, to submit to the mystery, to relax in the mystery of the divine Trinity that is Christ in you by the Holy Spirit. So this text, very deep, very rich. Lots of Trinity in there. It's so, so good. Let's go to verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. This is the next part of Paul's request of God on behalf of the Ephesian followers of Jesus. That they, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp that which cannot be grasped. Paradoxically, to know the unknowable, the depth of God's love. In our world today, a world marked by division and anxiety and fear-fueled hate, what if the church, grounded and established in love, so secure in knowing that we are loved by God and growing in our love for one another and for the world, what if we showed the world a different way? In the world of contagious, anxious energy, what if we were relaxed and stood firm in love? As a ship with a solid anchor, as a tree with deep roots stands secure in the midst of the storm, what if we, God's people, stayed secure in the midst of an anxious, ever-changing world because we know the love of God and we are growing in our love for one another and for the world? How is this possible? Again, there's a paradox in this verse. Paul's saying that they know the love that surpasses knowledge. It is as if Paul is making an impossible request, but he's going to make it anyways. Lord, I pray that they know that which is unknowable. I pray that they comprehend that which is incomprehensible, the greatness of your love. So as we turn the corner in this passage, the request, let's summarize Paul's request so far. The request is being strengthened, that the Ephesian Christians would be strengthened by the Spirit with Christ dwelling in their hearts, rooted and established in love, the power to know the unknowable depth of God's love. All of this points to this final request of Paul, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What does filled to the measure of all the fullness of God mean? In summary, it means to be filled with the presence and power of God by God's Spirit so that we would reflect God to the world. We are to be reflections of the likeness of God, conformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus. This looks like the transformational work of recognizing that we are not the center of the universe, but rather God is the center of the universe, and he invites his beloved children to be a part of our Father's business of healing in this world. This is why we exist, to become who we are always meant to be, accurate representations of and partners with our loving Father and King. In short, to glorify God. And the glory of God is what concludes this prayer. as we move from the prayer of petition, Paul's request of God on behalf of the Ephesians, to a prayer of praise. Says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to our willpower, our strength? No. According to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So let's wrap all of this together. This is the prayer Paul prays. With deep theology in every word. Our purpose as God's holy people is to glorify God by reflecting God's character to the world. And what is the fuel for living out this purpose? Is this, as the biblical scholar Thomas Slater says, the fullness of God fills the inner being so that faith and love might fuel the Christian community as it marches onwards. In other words, God's very self fuels us for the mission of glorifying God. According to Paul in this passage, the fuel for living out our purpose is God's very presence, his spirit, and knowing his love. This fuel transforms us from the inside out that we might become like God and become accurate representatives and representations of God in a world that needs God's love so badly. The scholar Lynn Kohick elaborates on this. She says, for the church to carry out its tasks in the world, a filling of God is essential. Again, God's fullness is not experienced as when we feel satiated after a big meal, for that sort of fullness makes us lethargic. Instead, this is the fullness of a gas tank before a long drive. To continue the analogy, the journey involves the church being Christ to the world, and the destination is a new heavens and new earth, the great feast that awaits the redeemed. So let's return to this question. What is it that fuels you? What do we fuel ourselves with for the race of faith? Not all fuel is created equal. I could load up on ice cream before a long run. And that may work out well for the first few feet. There's a sugar high, a burst of energy, and then a crash, and then I am worse than when I started. How often do we try to fuel ourselves with quick fix, instant gratification, things that have a promise to fuel us, to fill us, but is actually going to disappoint in the end? Confession time. For me, when I feel like I have, I'm feeling exhausted, depleted, sometimes that which I go to for fuel is my digital addiction to YouTube and Instagram and just pulling out my phone and mindlessly scrolling. And though that feels good and satisfies for a moment, afterwards I feel not as good. What is it that we fuel ourselves with? The quick fix, instant gratification, the self-indulgence, when we have instead available to us the Spirit of God and awareness of God's love for us to fuel us for the race of faith. Church, the gospel is not this, that Jesus died for me so that I could be forgiven and then figure out this Christian life on my own. No, that is not the gospel, no. The gospel is this, that God has given us his very self in his son Jesus to save us and give us new life, but not only that, he has given us his very self in the spirit so that we can be sustained and fueled for this life of faith. This is the good news of the gospel. He gives us his very presence via his spirit to sustain us in this new life right here, right now. In the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that his followers are to be lights in the world. We as followers of Jesus are called to be lights in a dark world. Now, in the ancient world, if you wanted to light a lamp to push back the darkness, you needed oil to fuel the lamp so that the lights would shine. And The oil in the scriptures is depicted in many ways, but sometimes it's depicted as the Holy Spirit. Now, how often do we go through life pouring out into others? We are pouring out love, serving others, pouring out, but then all of a sudden we feel like, oh man, I am running on empty. Now I am not pouring out of delight, I am pouring out of duty. I am running on empty. Maybe you are a parent with young kids and you're running on empty and you are just are feeling a lack, of energy, lack of patience. Maybe you are, you know, in your work you oversee a team and you feel like you are solving problem after problem and you're pouring out and you're serving your team faithfully, but you feel like you're pouring out and you're empty. The invitation of this life of following Jesus is that we would be filled up by God's Spirit, that He would fill us so that we could pour out love to others. That we are not called to just like figure it out on our own and pour out till we're empty and keep doing it, but rather to be filled up by God, to seek His presence, recognize that we are loved by God more than we could ever wrap our minds around, to be filled up so then we could pour out to a world that needs it. Sometimes I serve out of a place of duty. I pour out of a place of, you know, I have to serve rather than I get to. But I've learned, church, throughout the years that a filling up with God's Spirit is essential. For me, this looks like in the mornings, my time of scripture reading and prayer, that is a time where I could seek after God and be like, Lord, would you fill me up for the day ahead? Whatever tasks are before me, whatever conversations are before me, would you fill me up? If you are a parent of young kids, what could it look like for you to just be like, Lord, would you fill me up with your Spirit? Would you fill me up for the task ahead? Would I comprehend a little bit more that which is incomprehensible, the greatness of your love for me? If you lead a team at work, you know, and you've got various demands, what could it look like for you to go before the Lord and say, Lord, would you fill me up with your Spirit? Help me to be aware of the greatness of your love for me so that I could pour out to those around me. Jesus, he in his ministry will often have days of great ministry to many people, but then he would retreat to the Father. He would seek after the presence of God, the Father. To be good representatives of Christ to the world, we need a filling of his Spirit. We need the presence and power of God by his Spirit. We need an awareness of the depth of God's love for us. To be good representatives of Christ to the world, this requires an inner transformation. And this inner transformation is not dependent on our willpower alone, though we have a part to play, and that is to show up and to surrender. This work of transformation into Christ's likeness is by God's grace. Just as it was God's grace via Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross that gives us new life and saves us from sin, so it is God's grace via Jesus dwelling in us by the Spirit that sustains us and transforms us for this new life, to transform us into who we are meant to be, a holy people reflecting to an anxious, despairing world the love of God. I think the news yesterday reminds us so much more that we, as followers of Jesus, need to be empowered by the Spirit of God so that we can not be caught up in the anxious energy of the world, not be caught up by fear, but be extenders of love. This is what the world needs right now. And when we think about being people who are Spirit-filled, yes, we think of miracles and, you know, really cool things happening externally. But what if the miracle in this season was that we would be so rooted and grounded in love that we are unmoved by the anxious, fear-based reality that we are in as a society? What if that was a miracle that took place in Spirit-filled people who were empowered by the Spirit of God to be good representatives of God to an anxious, despairing world. That is a miracle that we need. And that is what us as Spirit-filled people could do as we seek the presence of God, to be filled up by God, and then pour out to those around us in love and grace. If you are here this afternoon and you are feeling like you are running on empty, you feel like you are lacking, you feel like you need a sense of God's love, you need a greater filling of God's Spirit, would you come and receive prayer? Do not leave here without receiving prayer. Come, receive prayer. If you are here and you feel like, man, I've been fueling up on the wrong kind of fuel. I've been, you know, choosing instant gratification and self-indulgence and all kinds of wrong things. Would you come and receive prayer? Just confess what you've been fueling up on and receive prayer. Maybe you're here and you have not yet received the Holy Spirit and you want a greater infilling, a greater portion of God's presence in your life. Would you come and would you receive prayer this afternoon? Don't leave here without getting prayer. But before that, I would like for us to stand to our feet and receive this word of encouragement, this word of blessing as we go about our week. Church, may you be strengthened by God's Spirit. Have the character of Christ exude from you from the inside out. May you be so rooted and established, secure in God's love for you and growing in your love for others. May you be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God and passionately pour out love as God pours his Spirit into you. Amen. Amen. Love you all. Come receive prayer if you would like prayer. And love you. We'll see you next week.